Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 95.3. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there had a wonderful, wonderful weekend and that you and your loved ones are off to a great start to the work week, school week, whatever kind of week you might have. Well, it is always a pleasure to be joined here on Press Row on Mondays during the 3 o'clock hour by Rusty Wright, whose mocks improved to 5-1 overall, 3-0 in the SoCon with a 41-13 dismantling of VMI. And Rusty, obviously, you look at that stat, 299 to minus 2 in rushing yards. Do you ever sense that something like that is possible when you study an opponent going into a game?
Well, y'all doing all right today?
Yeah. Sorry. Welcome aboard.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I knew they would have trouble blocking us up front. I mean, just because of the simple nature of what they try to do run game-wise, you know, they don't really hang their hat on trying to run the football a bunch, and I knew they would have a hard time doing that. And they're a little limited. Their scheme offensively, their top two quarterbacks were out. So that gave those guys did a lot of things with their legs when things broke down and stuff like that. So I knew if we could, you know, man up in there and the one thing we did probably better than we've done, you know, all year defensively is we were where we were supposed to be, you know, gap wise up front, you know, the front seven. And actually when the ball got thrown out or, you know, it broke outside, we were leveraging the football the right way. We were in good position. I mean, there were some clinic things going on out there, and that's the first time this year we've played like that defensively. So I knew they would have a hard time. I had no idea it was minus two till after the game, you know, because you just don't look at it. I mean, I didn't pay any attention to all that as the game's going on. But, you know, we got some guys up front to go play, and they had a hard time blocking them. There's no doubt.
Rusty, it's funny. When you think about growing up in the game, you're just always like, we've got to establish the run and stop the run. If you establish the run and stop the run, you got it. Well, you know, nowadays you see more teams like a Mississippi State and Purdue that Tennessee played in its bowl game where they're like, they're fine with 50 or 60 rushing yards a game as long as they're throwing it for 400. I mean, but does that adage still hold true as much as it ever did?
Well, it's not as much as it used to, just because now people take a 5-yard stop route and they take that as their run. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Or they take the hitch outside, you know, for 5 yards, is catch tackle most of the time. So, and you truly don't have to block anybody, because most of the time you can take the snap and get it out of your hands before a defensive lineman can get there. So you can kind of change some things that way. And, you know, there are some people that still like to run the football like we do, and people make it hard on you. So you have to throw the football. So, but that's the thing, is it's changed. The game has changed. There's no question about it. It's changed, and it's steadily working its way that way. And I think eventually you'll see it happen more and more everywhere.
You talked about how VMI was a little bit limited offensively. What about what you guys did to their defense when you think about Preston completing 80% of his passes? His yards per attempt were through the roof. You're talking about Ford and Appleberry each going over 100. Did you have as good of an offensive performance as you've had this season?
Well, the biggest thing we did offensively is we finished every possession with a kick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the one thing we had not done in any game this year. We had turned it over at some point in time in every game this year. And that gave us an opportunity to have plays and do things. And now Preston never put the ball in jeopardy, put the ball on people all day. You know, Lem and Gino ran hard. You know, the offensive line did a good job. But, I mean, that was the thing, is, you know, we finished every possession Saturday with a kick. And you do that, you give yourself an opportunity to do well, and that was the one thing I was most proud of, is ball never got put in jeopardy by the running backs, by the quarterback, you know, by the wideouts. I mean, everything was tight and close to the body, and that's something we had talked about all week long as we get into these stretch of last six conference games. We've got to take better care of the football and do those things right, and I thought those guys made a concerted effort to do that on Saturday, and that's why you put up, you know, you have an opportunity to put up numbers like you put up.
You're listening to Rusty Wright, coach of the Mocs, who walloped VMI and will turn their attention to a monster showdown against Mercer, UTC number 8, Mercer number 11. Rusty, before we delve into that one, I've never asked you this, but like when a 1:30 game at Finley is over, I know you go in, you talk to your team, and then you do a post-game news conference. What comes next for you at that point? What do you have to do next? Do you have any responsibilities, or can you kind of, for a home game like that, can you kind of get home relatively quickly after that?
Well, we got radio and all that stuff after it's over, so I have to go look at JR and Todd Agnew, so, you know, I have to go do that. But we get home at a decent time for a 1:30 game. It's much better. It is. It's much better, so it's not too bad. I think I got out of there, I don't know, 5:15, 5:30, after I grabbed a shower and did all that. So it's not too bad when you play at home.
Okay, so about 45 minutes to an hour after the final whistle, final horn, you're kind of out of Finley Stadium, correct?
Yeah, most of the time. That's about right.
Okay. Sure. Well, I was just wanted to get your take because everybody under the sun is commenting on it. What time were you able to plop down at home, and where did you catch the Bama-Tennessee game at that point?
Actually, we went and grabbed something to eat, so I had my back to it most of the time. I just kept hearing everybody yell and scream, and I couldn't tell who was winning or who was losing half the time. So, you know, I think we made it home before the end of it. Yeah, I saw the very end of it, and it was, you know, looked like a good college football game. I didn't get to see it start to finish. Got to see the last 5 minutes or so. But, yeah, it looked like a good college football game.
All right, speaking of good college football games, Mercer against UTC. Mercer's only lost to Auburn. You're only lost to Illinois. As an Auburn grad, it pains me to say that it looks like you've got the more impressive loss, given that Illinois keeps winning and Auburn doesn't. But goodness gracious, they just lit up ETSU 55 points. All six of their wins have come by at least 17 points. What makes this Mercer team so dangerous?
Quarterback's playing better. You know, he's playing a lot better than he did last year. He's got a good understanding of what they're doing offensively. And their explosive plays. I mean, I counted against East Tennessee, they had 14 plays of 15 or more yards. They get the ball out in space. It's a version of the old wing tee and some pro style offense type stuff. So there's a lot of misdirection and boots and nakeds and trying to get, you know, shots over the top. There's a little tempo. A lot of people play them differently than we play them. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they try to attack us this year. You know, that's the one good thing about our league is you play everybody every year. So you have to come up with new ways to defend them. They have to come up with new ways to, you know, move the ball against you and do those kind of things. But they're playing well. They are. They're playing well offensively. And that East Tennessee State game was a little closer than that at one time, you know, in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. I think they returned an interception for a touchdown late, and East Tennessee State tried to onside kick it, and they got it and ran it back all the way down close and got another cheap score. So it was 14 points in there. Wasn't quite as bad. You know, it was a football game for a long time. So, East Tennessee's they've just been their own worst enemy this year. So, but it'll be a huge challenge for us. I mean, they're finding different ways to win football games, and they're really good on defense too. So we'll have our hands full for sure.
How many, when you're going over their offense, how many teams do you face that play their style?
That play their style of offense?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. That's why it's a little unique. You guys got to be in the right spot defensively. You got to be gap sound. You got to leverage the football. You got to do those things just like you would against anybody. They put a little more pressure on you because of the window dressing with a lot of things, to get some mismatches and get some things in their favor. But like I said, the biggest difference between them this year and last year, I think like all of us in this league right now, is how the quarterbacks are playing.
You know, it's funny, and this comes from years of covering Georgia, but, you know, they would always devote some time in a spring and in a preseason to Georgia Tech at the end of the year when Paul Johnson was there and had to do all the, you know, the linemen just hated those cut blocks with the scout team and stuff like that. But along those lines, when you're preparing for Mercer, did you take some time in the spring? Did you take some time in preseason camp? And you had an open date not that long ago. How often have you prepped for what you're going to see Saturday?
I mean, some of the principles of what they do are pretty similar to what we see week in and week out. There's just a couple of different things formationally and that stuff. But you don't. I mean, it's not like getting ready to play the option, the true option. I mean, that's the difference. So, you know, the biggest thing is making sure our guys understand, you know, how we're lined up, how we have to fit things. You know, you can get done what you need to get done against these guys in a week. I feel like, I mean, it's not that crazy. And our kids. You know, and again, it goes back to we've had a lot of kids play against them the last 2 or 3 years, and it's like, which is good because it's no different than playing an option team like we see in our league. Our guys play the Citadel every year now compared to having 2 or 3 option teams. But, you know, so they kind of get used to it. They understand that's the beauty of FCS football. It's not the same thing every week. It's a little different. You get a little different schematically every week compared to, you know, what Alabama and Georgia see and those kind of things.
All right, I love the way this thing sets up. You've got you know, Tennessee playing UT Martin at noon. That could be over by 1. You don't have Georgia playing this week. Bama doesn't play until night. I mean, you've got this 1:30 stage, number 8 versus number 11. I mean, two teams that are undefeated this season against FCS opposition. Can you sense it already with your players that this may be just a little bit of a different kind of week?
Nah, not yet. I mean, it's only Monday for us, but I mean, you know, that's the one thing our guys have done a really good job of is they just come out to practice, try to prepare themselves as well as they could have every week, and we've done a decent job of that. I thought last Tuesday was one of our better practices we've had all year, and you know, I mean, that's the thing. They know, our kids know we're going to get everybody's best shot. I mean, it just... For whatever reason, I don't know why everybody hates Chattanooga so bad, but everybody hates Chattanooga, so we get everybody's best shot. They know they have to prepare that way, and we're just going to go out there and play. I still got 4 more left, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, I still got to go play 4 more games after this one, and we got to go get them all figured out and give ourselves an opportunity to go win all of them.
Rusty, you started bringing that up about a month ago about everybody hates Chattanooga. I started calling around, and I've talked to other league teams. They don't hate Chattanooga. They just don't like you. Just kidding.
Well, that may be true, too. I'm okay with that. I didn't get into this for a popularity contest. I can promise you that. So I'd have lost that one a long time ago.
All right. I know it's supposed to get chilly tomorrow and Wednesday, but Saturday is calling for 75 degrees and sunny skies. No excuses. This is a monster, monster football game. Go to Finley Stadium at 1:30. Go see the Mocs. And, Rusty, listen, thanks for all that you do. We always appreciate your visits. And best of luck this week in taking down the Bears.
Yep, thank y'all. Appreciate it. Y'all have a good week.
All right, Rusty Wright, head coach of the Mocs, who are undefeated in SoCon play, undefeated against FCS opposition. 648-1051 is your number. We'll introduce the poll question. Might have to do with a school up the road just a touch. When we come back, you're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 95.3.